heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He stopped me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved the air, I knew Him, and all my love is through Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. Let's sing that third verse one more time. Really think about what we're singing about. It's a new year, and we're going into 2024 this year, but one of these days I'm going to leave it here. Amen. I ain't going to be here no more. I got a place that's prepared by God for me. Amen. It's coming back to get me. Let's sing that third verse again.
I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved the air, I knew Him, and all my love is through Him. He launched me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
New Year's Eve. A whole lot of places we could be, but I thank God I'm here. A whole lot of New Year's Eves, I wasn't in church, wasn't looking for the Lord, wasn't looking for the things of God. But I say, thank God that I am now. Ain't no life I'd rather live than the Christian life. It's the best life I've ever had. I say thank you to Holy Cross for coming. Thank you to ones from Willis Gap, the ones from Camp Zion, and each one of you that's come. I know some from the church, some from Temple, any other churches representing Liberty, Bread of Life. Any other churches? Welcome View, Pine Ridge, Blue Ridge Chapel. Amen. Hey, brother, good to see you. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad we can all get together and worship the same God.
Amen.
Same God. New Year, same God. That's what we had on the flyer. I believe you can have a brand new life tonight if you want it. There's still time in 2023 for somebody to get born again. We've seen in just the last couple months, we've seen four saved right here on these altars. We can see one more tonight, which just thrill my soul. I believe it thrill everybody in here. I guess I don't really have an order of service. I don't really know how we're going to do this. We're just kind of winging it. But if you are a God-called preacher, just to tell me who I got to pick from. If you're a God-called preacher, stand up. Man of God. God-called man of God. Amen. Tell who you are.
Justin Barber from Mount Vernon.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Boy, Curly. That's Curly. Amen. Boy,
Mike.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all can be seated. Thank God for these men of God showing up tonight, coming out. guess my mother-in-law, I don't know I'm going to do this, but I told my father-in-law to bring her book. I don't know if she knows he's got it or not, but my mother-in-law is going to come sing us a couple. Y'all make her feel welcome as she comes.
Pray for me. I've not always been faithful, but He has. I've not always been graceful, but He has. I've not always been true, but He's always come through. He has. Yes, He has. I tell Him I'm not strong. He says, I am. I say I can't go on. He says, I can. Well, I've not loved everyone, not always overcome, but He has, oh, He has. He has been the greatest friend that I have ever known, and He has paid the debt on Calvary. Can't see what's ahead, but He has. And I can't conquer death, but He has. And when I'm tempted to sin, and I fail the test again, He passed. Oh, He has.
Yes, He has.
Calvary all alone. He has given me a melody and song. Oh, He has, yes, He has. Oh, wow, he really likes to put me on the spot, doesn't he? I can do that. Thank you. Well, I'd say I thank the Lord for saving me, and I'm thankful to be here tonight. Looking forward to the service. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. Star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever. Find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, I'll watch and wait, helping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand, just beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory beyond the river.
If you enjoyed that, give another hand. The first line of that song says, Jesus, keep me near the cross. As soon as she sung that, I thought, man, Jesus, keep me near the cross in 2024. If we're going to have a New Year's resolution, that's what our resolution ought to be. And then the longer she sang, I began to think about what it's like near the cross. And this morning we preached a little bit on the resurrection, and we talked about the disciples and all the ones that was there and how that they reacted after the crucifixion, and how that they had unbelief that he was going to rise again because of the heartbreak that they had, and because of the brokenness that they had because of their Savior. The one that came to save them, the one that they had put all their trust in, the one that they had been following for 3.5 years, then he was dead. There's heartbreak at the foot of the cross. There's brokenness at the foot of the cross. You know, before the Lord, and I seen this on Facebook the other day, but it stands true, before the Lord can really use you, you first got to be broken. That's what it is at the foot of the cross, is brokenness. So if we ask the Lord to keep us at the foot of the cross, we better be prepared for what that entails. That's going to entail more than you could ever dream it could entail. But I want to be used by the Lord. Whatever that is, however that looks, I want to be used by the Lord. There's some great men of God that's really been used by God, but you look at their lives and they have been broken. Papa Bill has been broken for years and years, just things weighing on every side. But when they push on and they endure on and they keep pressing on, the Lord can really use them. And that's what I want to be in 2024. I don't know how to follow no order, but we ain't going to take up a bunch of prayer requests. But if you've got a prayer request, I'll uplift your hand. Amen. Chris Oak, will you stand and pray for us real quick? He said, pray for Andy Brannick. They put him in the hospital. Amen.
Father, tonight we love you, God. Thank you so much for this opportunity that we have tonight to assemble together. Father, we're in church and coming together to worship one God, one Spirit, and one truth, Father. We thank you so much, Father. We look to you tonight, God. And all the finish of our faith, Lord. We do pray for Andy Brannick. Pray, God, you've ministered there. All of these that are in the hospitals and nursing homes, God, there's so many that are sick right now. So much going on, but Father, we know that you're the Almighty Physician, and you can reach in and heal and bless and touch. You can go where no man can go, and Father, we believe you for that tonight. Father, pray for those that are sick and afflicted, pray for those that are soul sick, pray for those that are lost and undone tonight, that they seek a Savior in their life. Father, tonight would be a wonderful time for somebody to meet you, Lord Jesus, and leave this place a new creature, a different person than what they came in.
Yes, thank you.
Father, pray for all these preachers, God, as they stand to preach tonight. Lord, you'll move upon them and through them, God, speak through them, God, that it would be the oracles of God. We would hear from heaven tonight. We need it. We need an uplifting. We need an encouragement tonight. Father, we pray, God, that you'll use these men of God and just continue to use them in the coming days in 2024. Give them open doors to preach. And Lord, just help them to expound your word, God, every word that they might go and live a life, God, to the world that they see Jesus in them, God.
Yes,
we pray. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for the assembly, God, of this service tonight, TJ, being led to put this together. And Lord, that we might all come together and worship in the new year together. We thank
yes,
you for that. Thank you, God, for all that's been done and all that's about to be done. Praising you for what's not yet seen. But, Father, we have a hope in our heart and our soul and a belief, God, of something wonderful and miraculous that's about to happen. We love you, Jesus. Of course, in Jesus' name we pray, and all the church said,
amen. Amen. I guess the way we're going to do this is 10 minutes is what we're going to go with. 10 minutes. In 9 minutes, I'm going to ring it a little bit. And at 10 minutes, unless you're just running real well. If you're running real well, I'm going to let you keep running. But at 10 minutes, I'm going to sit you down. But be prepared for 10 minutes. I know there's some here that I asked to come, but there's some here I didn't say nothing to. But if you stood up a minute ago and you're a preacher, just be prepared. I ain't got no order. I thought about drawing straws to see who goes first, but we ain't going to do that. We're just going to follow the Lord, but the pastor wants to go first so he don't get wore out.
Amen.
Come on, preacher.
Amen.
There you go. I ain't preaching too much. Hello. Don't start my time yet. Amen. You gotta have a little introduction. Amen. You got an introduction. Proverbs 30. I'd apologize for my voice, but I'm gonna praise God. I got half a voice, as good as I need. Amen. I decided when he said, "Men of God, I'm just a child of God." I used to be a man, but I'm just a child of God now. Amen. God laid this on my heart a few weeks back. And the scholars and those that the concordances, and they don't even agree on some of this. And if you don't agree with me, I don't really care. Amen. I know what God has given me. Amen. And it's time to preach it. 30th chapter of Proverbs. And it says, "The word of Agar, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy, the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ucal, my friend." And he said, "Surely I am more prudish than any man." I saw some where they said this was maybe Hagar's friends, but I'm going to tell you what I think that it was, and I'll read on in the Bible. I see this as a man, amen, that wasn't raised in a church family, wasn't raised around good people, good Christian people, and I see that he's not as just being his man. It says here in one place that I have wearied myself. Oh God, I believe Agar is bound to get to realize in sin we have wearied ourselves, but he's beginning to realize there is a God. There ain't people that hears about God every day and don't think they all know about Jesus. They'll tell you they're Christians, they're shatters, and they're church members. And they ain't never been to Calvary. And he said unto Ithiel, "Oh God," and he said, "You call," and that says, "I'm weary and I'm weak." Amen. I'm going to tell you, when Jesus came into my heart, when I laid down the old man, and I seen I was weak, and I wasn't having my life, I was falling all to pieces. Well, glory to God, Jesus come in 55 years ago. I praise God. He ain't never moved out. I'm glad he's still there taking care. And he said, "Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of man." That shows me, glory to God, that Agar had reached out for some understanding, wanting to know something about God. Some of you have been in church all your life, but you have no understanding of the power of God. If you did, we'd live different when we go to school. We'd live different on the job. We'd act like Christians. How would we know how Christians act? We read it in the Bible. We look out and see how a real man of God lives. We see how he talks in front of people and when he's by himself. People of God talk to themselves sometimes to get out of the valley, to walk where God wants them to walk. I'm going to tell you, honey, I'm glad I didn't have a much understanding, and I was a brutal man, especially when I drank of the devil's brew. But when I met Jesus, honey, 55 years ago, I've not needed that. I've got something to step me on, or to push me on, or to lift me up. Glory to God. When I come off the operating table, found out I could speak, I said, "Glory to God, I can talk. What time is it? What time is it? Amen. Our time ain't long till we go into another year. But our time ain't long here on earth. I've got to get through 3-4 messages right here. He said, I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. It's so important. We got a little great-grandson that his mama is passed on, and he jumped up in my office, and he said, I need to study so I can preach to my mama in heaven. I don't know where she is, but I'm going to tell you something. He ain't been to church, but he's heard me talk. I say, I've got to study. I've got to preach God's word. I've got to pray. I've got to walk for Jesus. Amen. So bring our kids to church. They learn something. They'll have some knowledge. The meanest day of my life, I can remember in the old churches, the prayer of God falling. The old women would slap your face. Amen. They'd run down the aisle. We don't see no movement before we leave here tonight. We need to see some people walk around this church. This ain't ours. This is God's. It's a place to worship God. Give Him praise. Give Him honor. Give Him glory. Oh, glory to God. Honey, we need to give Him praise while we were able. And He went on to say, who hath ascended up unto heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in His fist? Who hath bound the waters in His garments? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is His name? And what is His son's name, if thou canst tell? Can you tell me who God is? Of the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, His Son, walked in the flesh that I could stand here tonight, that I shouldn't grumble about anything. I want to give Him praise for what He's done for us. Oh, many years. God has picked us up when we was flat out. I've went for months and I thought, God, don't speak to me. I can't hear Him. I couldn't understand His word. But I kept coming to church. It wasn't long. It became as sweet as honey. And man, I found out some things I didn't know. I know, honey, it's time that some of us grow into men and women and get off of the stool of self-pity and start giving God praise for what He's done for us. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And He said, every word of God, He began to learn something. I don't know how He learned it, but He evidently didn't learn. I thought this man could have been maybe a descendant of Abraham under Ishmael. The Bible don't say this, but it's my thought. I thought he was under Ishmael, and Abraham loved Ishmael, but he sent him over because he was born of a bond woman. How many of us was born of a bond woman? I was born of a bond woman. Amen. That didn't get saved on up in years. My parents didn't know God. Daddy never did, as far as I know. So I couldn't go to Daddy and say, pray for me. I never remember Daddy telling me, I love you. But a lady sold bootleg liquor. I bought her. He bought her. And he come and give it. Told her I had got saved and how happy Daddy was. But then I could go tell Daddy about Jesus, about what He had done for me. I remember, oh Lord, I better not go there. I better leave that alone. Better mind my own business. I'll be in trouble when I get home. Hallelujah. And He said, every word of God is pure. He is a shield. He's a shield unto them that put His trust in Him. I thought about doctor, cut my throat. That's pretty serious business around your throat. I said, doctor, you know the Lord. Are you saved? He said, yes, sir, I'm saved. He come back the next day. And he said, you're going to have to stay because your calcium's out of whack. I said, who said that? He told me, doctor, that was over him. I said, you better go talk to God. I believe God wants me to go home. I hope to die. He come back. He come back in about 30 minutes, and he said, "You're going home." He said, "You're going home." I believe he went around the corner. Amen. Johnny can wipe blood, good as a doctor's can. Amen. I had one nurse wasn't saved. She didn't know what heaven was. I asked her if she could hear Jesus. She said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "He's in my heart. Ain't it working? Ain't it working?" She come back. I said, "You hear Jesus?" She didn't know what I was talking about. Bless her heart, she wasn't raised in New York. That's what she told me. She didn't have no learning and no understanding. She had no knowledge of God. Honey, she's probably 50 years old. She is good to me as a baby. But she needed to be saved. I had something she couldn't give me. She is a nurse, and I couldn't be. I got 1 minute. Oh, God. I took a lesson from Chris Oakley. Don't quit till they run you off. And they, he said, "Add thou not unto the words, the word, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." Don't change the word of God. America's changing the word of God. There's book after book after book that ain't written with the power of God in it. These two verses right here I've got to get. "Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die." Omegar looked up and said, "God, these things I require of you. Let me have them before I die." He had privilege to go talk to God after he got saved. Amen. And he said in the word, and he said, "Remove far from me vanity and lies." And I'm going to tell you, God has moved them. You know what? We didn't stay where we was at. We moved where vanity and lies are. Amen. We'd rather hear a lie than the truth. We'd rather hear we're all right than to say your sins ain't right. I say, ain't right, glory to God. And he give me neither poverty. Listen to this close. You young preachers, listen. "Neither give me poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me." Oh, just what I need is all I need. God has provided everything I needed. Far as I can tell right now, everything I ever wanted. I don't have no need for nothing. For nothing. But he said, and he said, that's a life, that's all I got. But he said, listen to this ninth verse and I'll quit. "Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of the Lord in vain." I'm going to quit. I never get done. But I just want what's convenient for me. I've had a thing or two. They want nobody else want to drink after me. While TJ's coming, I had spinal meningitis. I come back to church. Two or three ladies said, "We'd have come see you, but we're afraid we'd catch it." That's why people don't come to church. They're afraid to catch it. They're afraid to have to lay down. I got to get rid of this. Get this off of me.
You do.
I got it on.
I give you 15 minutes of one of them old cured out preachers, can't you?
I give you 13 minutes anyway. Come on, Curly. This is Brother Curly from Camp Zion, or Camp Zion Church. Yeah, there you go. Play with it. And you got 10 minutes. Don't follow his example. You got 10 minutes. How's this thing work? There we go. Lay it on top of it.
Stay with it.
Okay. I'm going to be talking out of Ephesians. Chapter 2, verse 8. I'm going to try to be quick here. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God.
around this time of season, we're always talking about gifts. We're talking about getting something for little Timmy or little Stephanie. But we need to focus on the true gift of this season. The reason the season is not Santa Claus today. It's not some big red man with reindeer that fly around in a sleigh. It's about Jesus Christ, the boy who came down. It says in John 3:16 that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's the gift of God today, church. He gave His Son down here, and 33 some years later, I think, He went up that hill to that cross on Calvary, and He gave His life for us that we may have salvation, that we may have a path to Him, that we may be able to have God in our heart, that we may be able to accept Him. That's the gift of God today, church. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. They ask for belief. That's what He's asking for. He's asking for us to believe in Him, to have faith in Him. And I'm not just talking about any kind of faith. I'm talking about a certain kind of faith that the Lord requires of us. It's a living faith. It's not a dead faith. In James it says, even so faith, if it not have works, is dead being alone. We cannot be a Christian and have a dead faith. A Christian with a dead faith is a stagnant Christian, a comfortable Christian. We talked about that in church this morning. We don't want to get comfortable in church. You don't want to get stagnant. You want to have a living faith. You want to do works for God. That's what is required of us. In John, James, it says, what doeth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he have faith and not have works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doeth it profit? What does it profit if your brother and sister are starving and you don't feed them? What doeth it profit if you say, God, I'm a Christian, I believe this and this, but you don't go out in the world and spread the gospel? We're called to be a light. We're called to edify God. We're called to lift up His name. What doeth it profit to be a Christian man, a so-called Christian, that hath no works, that hath no proof? It says here that faith being alone is dead. But through works, faith is made perfect. He's talking about feeding your brothers and sisters, but I'm going to depart from Scripture a little bit. What about the people in this world? They're starving. They're starving. They don't have the bread we have. They don't have the water we have. They don't have the fountain of life like we have. They don't have the bread of life where you'll never hunger again. If we don't go out and spread the gospel to the people that are starving, to the people that are hungry in this world, what doeth it profit to have faith, but you don't go out and spread the word? If you don't go out and spread the good news, if you don't go out and share the gift of God, what doeth it profit? We need to spread the gift of God. Jesus came down here for the world. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He came down here for every man and woman in this world, in this church, in work, in school. It doesn't matter. He came down for all of us, and we need to spread the gospel. That's what we're called to do. I hear a lot of Christians say, I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to study more. I've made a plenty of resolutions, and I still weigh 270 pounds. They don't never come out right. We need to quit with the New Year's resolutions, and we need to start making a commitment. We need to make a commitment to God. If you say you're going to pray more, don't wait till New Year's. Don't wait till the 31st at 12 o'clock tonight to change your life. If you say you're going to study more, get down and study more and open this Bible. There's a lot of Christians that are out in this world, and they come to church and say they have faith, but their Bible's still sitting on their cupboard with dust on the cover. If you say you're going to pray more, get down on your knees right then. You don't got to wait. You don't got to wait. It says now is the day of salvation. You don't got to wait for something. God has come already. We don't have to wait no more. Where there's nothing to wait on except for Him to come back and take us on up to glory. We don't got to wait no more. We got to put some legs on our prayers. We need to put some works into it. Who's next?
Give another round. Amen. Cody Brown's his pastor, if y'all can't tell. Colton Akers, you come on. Grab that mic as you come by. Colton left a newborn baby at home to come be with us tonight. That means something. Dedication. Preach what the Lord's given.
Give me just a minute to get this hooked up. All right, I'll be in 2 Timothy chapter 3, going into verse 4, and I've had this on my heart ever since. My brother has asked me to preach, and I pray that it would help everybody here and encourage and those preachers. And I know that's a weird thing to say, is I've come to preach, and I'm going to preach mostly to the preachers. And I pray that the Lord would help me in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And as Bill was going through his scripture, I found it very fitting, I should say, in Proverbs 30 verse 5, I believe it was, every word of God is pure. Every word is what it said. Every word. Every word is pure. And He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. And now I'm going to begin reading in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 16, I'm going to start in verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I'm going to stop here for a second, but I notice when I go to certain places and listen to certain pastors, whether it be on the internet or whether it be in person at churches, that I find where we run from certain Scriptures. Whether denominationally or not, we run from Scripture. Because we don't know how to take it. We don't know what it means. But I just want to put this out there and maybe press it upon your heart that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every word of it. Whether we understand it or we don't run from it. It is the Word of God. We need to do what our brother says and get down and pray and seek understanding of it. All Scripture is given by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the preachers here, and it goes beyond that to Christians in general, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's there for a reason. Every word, every Scripture is there for a reason. May we not dip and dodge Scriptures that we don't like or don't understand. May we dig into it. It's for our own good. And this is what he said in 4 verse 1. And I just want to maybe get the room and to understand what we're doing here. To understand what we're doing, that this is not a game. This is not a game to God. And we can come and we can come to church and we can be so lackadaisical about it, but it's not a game. It's not a game to Him. Here's what Paul wrote to him. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And preachers, that's the charge that we have. That every word that we say will be taken into account on that day. That we stand before Him, every idle word that we say, even while preaching, He will judge us for that. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the one in which we worship, the one that we, as we just celebrated His birth at Christmas, Him. The charge is before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. In verse 2 it says this, knowing what we know, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's all profitable. It says, preach the Word. Amen. Preach the Word. We don't need nothing else. We don't need my ideas. We don't need your ideas. We need the Word of God preached. We need it preached, and we need it preached, and we need it preached again. We do not need our ideas. We need the Word of God. The world needs the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We need Him. And we need Him preached over and over and over. And when you seem, as when you're preaching you and you don't feel like you're getting any response, make no doubt God is working. He is working all the time and He is in control of all things. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove. Rebuke. And exhort with all long suffering. Be patient, brothers. God is working. He's working in all things. And with all long suffering and doctrine. Stand on the Word of God. Stand on the doctrine that is taught in the Scriptures. And stand firmly on it. And don't let this world and those who creep in to the churches run us away from it, because it is offensive. Because the Word of God is offensive to the natural man. It is. It is offensive to call someone a sinner. It's an offense to them when you tell them they're going to hell. But do not be afraid of them. Don't fear them. They're not to accept it, but fear God. That's who we should fear, God, more than man. Preach the Word, brothers. Preach the Word. For the time will come, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. It will come when they will not endure it, they will not stand for it, and they will run and find a church that will tell them what they want to hear. But hear me. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I tell you here that the world, I don't know how long ago, but the world and church members, I'm not just talking about them out there who are driving by as we have service. I'm speaking to those who are in this room. That God does not care about if you're a member of Mount Vernon, the church, or Pine Ridge Baptist. He does not look for that on that great day. He doesn't care that your mama's a Christian or your daddy's a Christian. He does not care. But you will stand before Him. And if you are outside of Christ, you will be found guilty by Him. The God that created all things, that created even you, that hung the stars and the sun in the sky, the holy God that we're taught about in Scriptures, that the seraphims flew around Him and worshipped Him when Isaiah saw Him sitting on His great throne, that you will stand before Him, unbeliever, unconverted church member, and you will be found guilty. That's the fact of it. And I say that not out of a mean spirit, but I tell you that out of love. I tell you that out of love. Because it does not matter how much we do or how good we think we are. If you are outside of Christ, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. Repent and believe the gospel that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. I want you to think about this. In Christ, that He was born not of a natural birth. He was born of a virgin. So that sinful nature that was passed down from Adam was not given unto Him like it was given to us. That He obeyed perfectly every command that was ever given by God. In His perfect obedience all the way up until the day of His death, being obedient unto His Father. So that we, me and you, sinners, I'm no better than anyone in here. And I want to make that clear because I preach. I promise you, I will not go get into heaven on that. It does not matter on that day. The preachers, it doesn't matter. But in Christ's obedience, He went to the cross willingly for sinners. For those who had rejected Him. For even those who had beat Him. He said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. They had no idea what He was doing for them. And I want to put that on you, and I want to set that on you, and may it weigh on you today, that if you are not in Christ, if you are not born again, and hear me, you know if you are born again. You know if you're a Christian. And if you're just playing a game, if you're just coming to church, examine yourself, because eternity weighs in the balance. And look to your heart. Not only look to your heart, but look to your works, because your heart can deceive you. Look to your heart and look to your life and trust in Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good preaching. Good preaching.
Boy, I sure do love preaching. I love to listen to preaching. I love to hear people preach. I love to see people preach. I love to preach. I just love preaching. It's the power of God. It's what it is. It's the power of God. I guess what we're going to do, we're going to change pace for a minute. That'll be all right with y'all. Holy Cross, y'all's choir, come on, sing as many as you want to. And sing. Enjoy yourself.
Tried many physicians, but daily grew worse in the Bible years old. But when she had heard, she came to Jesus, and she found what she needed for body and soul. Then Jesus passed by.
Yeah. When your pastor was talking earlier, this song came to my mind. It wasn't on the schedule, but that's how it goes, ain't it? You do what you need to do. And normally my daughter helps do this song a lot, and she goes, with my voice. I was like, so she'll fuss at me later. And I said, there's a lot of people that can help, but I felt led for them to do this song tonight. And I don't know Paige, and I don't know what he wants to play on the thing. So she's not going to mind if people help sing this song, but y'all listen to the words.
I'm going to need help. I love help. Because I don't have a voice at all.
She don't. So y'all just join her and help. But listen to the words. This is how I feel. I love this song.
Under the blood, all praises dear. Thank you. been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful.
After me, I seen some preachers online making fun of that, saying he ain't running after me. I got to go to him. But in Psalms 23 verse 6 it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, That goodness is coming after me. That's some of them fringe benefits of being a child of God. Hey, I ain't good. I ain't worthy. I ain't no count without Him, but He's good to me anyway. And His goodness follows me all the days of my life. I say thank God for that. I had totally forgot. I was supposed to anoint a couple people when we started, and I totally forgot. So we're going to do it right now. It's some of them fringe benefits. Over in the book of James, it said, if there's any sick among you, call the elders of the church, anoint them with oil. And what's it say? The prayer of a... There you go. I knew one of them had it. But that's some of that goodness that's following us. Y'all, come on. Anybody else needs to be anointed? Come on. And all the elders, all you preachers, come on. Anybody needs to be anointed? We ain't in no hurry tonight. I'll just do whatever. Whatever the Lord leads. Come on over here. Michael Smith, you lead. Father, we bow before you, God, reaching out to us, God, you know what you need, God, you know what you need, God, you know what you need, Amen. Right.
If I got to church, the Lord would wake me.
Amen.
That's the man that I got saved, been saved 15 years.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.
He's been a whole lot better than me than I deserve.
Yeah.
And granted, you'd sit here with me tonight.
Right. Same. Amen. 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 Bless you, Bucky. That's one of my dearest friends. We've had a lot of good times talking about the Lord. Might have been cool nothing, but we was talking about the Lord, too. I believe He's saved. I believe that with all my heart. I put this verse on our flyer, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I believe there's evidence of that all over the building. There's evidence of that in Bucky. Bucky just stood and testified. It ain't a coincidence I had this verse up getting ready to read it, and Bucky stood up and testified about how the Lord changed him. Bucky was mean. Bucky was a mean old fella. Anybody you ask, they say, oh, Bucky Pack, golly, he liked to fight. He is mean. Him, Terry King, everybody on the same level. They just like to fight, not to be mean. But the Lord will change you and break you. Take you to the foot of that cross we was talking about. Make you want to stand up and testify about the goodness of God. Make you want to be in church on New Year's Eve so you can worship with your brothers and sisters. Give you new friends. He'll change the people that you're around. He'll change the desires of your heart. He'll change you from the inside out. That's what the Lord does. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That woman that told him that she'd come to the baby shower if he'd come to church, that's what she was doing. That's a good woman. That's a good Christian woman that invited him to church, and it changed his life. You know, just one word that you say to somebody might change their entire life. Might change the whole course of their history. What's wrote down in the history books about them, the record books in heaven, might be changed by one thing that you say. If you're just obedient to God. Just obedient. You know, it's not just saying it in church, it's saying it out there. But if you got something on your heart here tonight, do like Bucky did. You just stand up and say it. Just stand up and say it. Verse 19 says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray for you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This man that had never known sin, this man that was in the kingdom of heaven, he was sitting on the throne. He's the very Word of God. The world was made by him, by the Word of God. He never knew sin. He left heaven and he came to earth just for me and just for you. He came for whosoever shall call upon his name. It ain't for just an elect crowd. It's not for just a few. It's for whosoever shall call upon his name. And if you want to be a brand new man, if you want to have a brand new life, you can have it tonight. Hey, it's about going to heaven. It's about having my name wrote in that book. But beyond that, he'll change you from the inside out. Lots of people think they can change themselves and then get right. You can't change yourself and then get right. I done my best to change myself. I was a drug addict. I was strung out. I was strung out on sin and couldn't get off of it. But the Lord came down on the inside of me and changed my life forever. He changed me. He reconciled me to himself. Now I'm a child of the King. Hey, my righteousness is his righteousness because I'm covered by the blood. Thank God I'm an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. The Lord is good. Amen. Somebody else got a testimony on your heart? Anybody at all? Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to do you know how it feels. I ain't done it in a long time, and I figure it's my all-time favorite gospel song, and I've sung it a lot of years. We started doing it in the choir and everything, and I'm sure everybody knows this song, but it sure is the best thing that ever happened in my life. The Lord hadn't come into my life. I don't think I'd be living right now. I lived a real riotous life. Some people in here know my old life. Some people don't. Boy sitting right there on the front row ain't never known the old Shannon's failure. You know, you've heard about him, but there's a lot of stories that can be told. But just by the grace of God that I'm standing here in front of you today. And, you know, I was picking with you a while ago, but I sincerely meant what I said when you sat in that seat. I said, you got some shoes to fill. If you're going to sit in that seat, you better bring it. And I meant that. I wasn't, you know, I'm picking you and you know I love you, but I've been sincere about that. Because I got more respect for that man right there sitting, T. Wright, than about anybody I know of. He really has earned my respect through the years, and I love you, Bill. I'm doing this song a whole lot for you because I know you love this song right here. You've been my life. For so long you were right, when I was wrong I can't repay all the love you've given me. my friend. When no one cared, I was alone. But you were there, Lord. You're the best thing that ever happened to me. I owe all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life and make me what you have me be. Well, I'm your child, and you're my father. I'm the clay, and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Borrowed treasures, borrowed dreams, all life's joys you've given me. When troubles come, you're always there to make me smile. Then come what may, thy will be done. I love you, Jesus, my precious son. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life and make me what you'd have me be. Well, I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. For every time that I have failed, each time I stumbled and sin prevailed, you picked me up and put my feet on solid ground. Why you love me, I just don't know. But I'll keep singing as I go. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life and make me what you have me be. Well, I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Everybody sing, thank you, Jesus. I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life and make me what you'd have me be. Well, I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Yes, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Amen. Somebody else got something before we get back into some preaching? Anybody at all? All right. Well, we started out with the pastor of Mount Vernon Church. Now we're going to have another older preacher, been preaching a while. He ain't older, he's just been preaching a while. He's gray. He's got some gray going on. But I didn't ask him to come, but he come. And I seen him back there in his Bible. So, Chris Oakley, come on.
You got 10 minutes. 10 minutes.
Thank you. pastoring when I was 27, and I hadn't seen anywhere to let up or to give up or to give in. Amen? And I hope that when I draw my last breath that I'm still preaching and still going hard for the glory of God. And Lord, have mercy. What an inspiration that we've got sitting here on the front row. And admire him so much, and just the continuance to keep on preaching. Even when his voice changes back and forth from one way to another, he just keeps right on preaching. Glory be to God. Let me finish that way, Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to start at verse number 9. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doeth God take care for oxen, or saith he all it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, it is a great thing if you shall reap your carnal things. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that they that which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they that wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me, for it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, and that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this do I for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they that do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I know there's a lot of reading for a cowbell service, and having 10 minutes, I read 2 minutes of it. But I want to say to you tonight, and again saying to these preachers, and I see several young preachers and a young man here, 18 years old, and we have an obligation in God to minister the gospel. And we have an obligation to God in the calling that we accepted when we accepted that calling, that wherever we may go, no matter what the situation may be, whether it be funeral, whether it be wedding, whether it be whatever, that we minister the gospel unto people. And the thought that came to my mind here, and I just jotted it down, that we got to plow in hope. And I just wonder tonight, and I don't know how many of you does and how many of you don't, but I wonder how many of you tonight, and I'm talking to you preachers, how many of you has a tractor? Amen. Boy, that's an odd question, ain't it? Raise your hand if you got a tractor. Got a tractor? Anybody else got a tractor? Anybody else have a tractor? Huh? When you have a tractor, what do you put behind the tractor to till up the land?
Wow. You put a plow behind it. Amen. You light the tractor up, you hook the plow up to the tractor, but that plow is worthless unless you drop the hammer. Amen. That plow is worthless unless you engage it. It is worthless unless you put the handle down and drop it down every how deep that you want to go. We need the plow tonight. Amen. We need the preachers that ain't afraid to fly. We need the preachers that ain't afraid to preach. We need the preachers that ain't afraid to tell it like it is. It ain't a popularity contest. It ain't a preaching contest. It ain't to see who can read the word better. It ain't to see who's deeper in the word better. It's to preach the gospel. It's to minister to the saints. It's to take care of the widows and the poor. It's things that we're obligated to do in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we got to let the plow there.
Amen. I want to say tonight that you won't
preach like me. I won't preach like you. I won't ever preach like Bill, even though I've been accused of it a lot. I won't preach like somebody else, and you're not going to preach you. Amen. Preach what even God gives you. Don't try to be like somebody else. Don't follow after somebody else. Preach what God gives you, what Christ gives you, because He did it for a reason and a purpose. Their souls will be saved for how long you pray. I see so many anymore that tries to be like somebody else.
Well, there's already one of them. Why do you want to try to be like them? Amen. 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 I see so many on Facebook and so many, and I watch the reels like anybody else and see preachers preaching and see them trying to preach and trying to be. I want to be Christ-like. Amen. I don't want to try to preach like somebody else or to be like somebody. I want to plow with my own plow. Amen.
I have a tractor, and I have a plow, and it's mine. Amen. I take care of it, and I grease it up. Yeah. I grease it up, and I... Hallelujah. There you go. Amen. Praise the Lord. I said, Father, hold the back here. Amen. Praise God. You surrender the burning houses together. Hallelujah. And it's good to be on this side, huh? Hallelujah. It's good to be. No matter what we're doing in the Lord, Jesus told me, we fly in hope because there's hope in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Hey, amen. There might not be much left of this, and I get done. I just got just a few minutes. Right quick, before I run out of time, I better get it. Luke chapter 9, just a few verses here. And we're all guilty. We're all guilty of this. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, A certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. I'll follow you, Lord. I'll go with you, Lord. I'll be there for you, Lord. What about when my wife is mad and puffed up? What about when the youngin says, Daddy, if you do, I'll be mad at you for the rest of my life? What about when everybody else don't like it and you know it's going against the grain and everything in the world? But it's what God said to do. It's what the Lord led to do. It ain't popular, but buddy, if it's in the Lord, it'll be right. Amen. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus saith unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I'm here to tell you tonight, preachers, there's nowhere to give up. There's nowhere to give in. There's nowhere to quit. I don't care how bad your feelings is hurt. I don't care who makes you mad. What clubs or society's cast you out. It won't let you be a part. I mean, that ain't the part that you want to be a part of. No, the Christian prayer has come to lay the glory. They've come to lay the kingdom of God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for that. I don't know why I'm putting that up here. Did I give you a water, Caleb Doss? Come on, brother. Preach to us. Hand it down.
Don't start the timer yet before I put this thing on. All right, so it's kind of funny that my brother back there, I don't know your name, but hit right on 2 Timothy, you beating all around the bush for about exactly where I was going. So flip over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, please, if you will. And it says in verse 1, I'll give you all a little time to get there. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. Rebuke, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So I'm going to talk a little bit about instant and long suffering. Now, if you will, I kind of like flipping through my Bible a little bit. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to start in verse 4. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of admirations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but in the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To and another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kind of tongues. To another, and the interpretation of tongues. So I'm going to skip down to, let's see right here. Go to 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body also in Christ. So we have to be instant. Okay, we have to be instant whenever we're called. I was called. I believe I was called. He put me in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, and it talks about how the men need to be with God, first off. They have to be a preacher and evangelist. And that's what he gave to me. And I was like, Lord, this is not what I had in mind for my life. And yet I tried to run as far away as I could from God. And yet, where did he lead me? Right back to when we was going to that church event. I can't remember what it was. But anyway, we was going to another church. And he was like, this is what I'm telling you to do. I could not do it. I ran from my whole life of this. I mean, I was trying my best to be like, God, this ain't what you had for my life. And he ran to me, just like my brother told while he was up here. He came to me. He led me in the way that he wants me to be. Not the way anybody else preaches, not the way someone says something. I am a preacher. Okay, let me just put that straight. I'm a preacher. That doesn't make me any bigger or better than any single person out here in the world. It doesn't make me to a higher standard. It doesn't make me anything bigger or more than. It's just a title. And I feel like, even though I'm a preacher, I feel like every single one of us should be preachers. And I say that being we should all be the ones to travel with God and let Him lead us, first off. Pray constantly and let Him lead where we need to go. So I'm going to go to chapter 13, and the top of the heading right here says, charity never fails. Amen. And it says in verse 1, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of a prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long. There it is again, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up,
doeth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. So in this, I was thinking over the weekend and the week that I had off from work, I was watching this video of temptation and how easy it is to get tempted from the devil. And sometimes we put ourselves in that temptation. Sometimes we guide ourselves into temptation. So let's talk about temptation. All right, what is, think to yourself, what am I tempted of? And how can I overcome that? With instant. All right, going back to 2 Timothy, instant. How can I get away from that temptation in an instant? And when you think about instant, it isn't like, oh, I'll get there someday. I'll clean up my life and then I'll be there. And, you know, all these temptations keep happening. But yet, I mean, I'll be there one day and I can do it next year coming up. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, I can do it next year. I'll put it off till next year and he'll still be waiting on me. He may not be.
That's right.
He may be right here, right now.
Yeah.
And yet you're over here looking so far away from him. But yet this is the place that you need to come.
Amen.
Get your life right with God. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care if you're called or say you're called and you're not saved. You need to get your life right first. That's the first priority. So, charity. Let's talk about a little bit of charity. Charity is love. Okay, so what is the definition of love? Well, I believe that the only person that can show love is the first one that showed love. Who is that? God. Jesus. He loved us so much that he gave his only son. God gave his only son for us. That was pure love. That is what we need to be looking for. So when we have these temptations, we need to be instant. Put them away. Vanish. Flee from sin. That's what our Bible tells us. It's to flee from sin. Instant. Be instant when you're fleeing from those temptations. You can't just sit and ponder about, oh, this temptation is getting to me. You know, I've been down this road. I can't do it no more. You have a breaking point. Every single person has a breaking point, and you all have a calling. So first off, when you're tempted, find that breaking point as quick as you can and be instant. Find God whenever that temptation comes, find him. And I also heard over the week while I was doing a little bit of this studying, I heard that whenever temptation comes, you know, the devil's right there. But for you to not be tempted to begin with, it's for you to be with God to begin with. So if you're with God constantly, you're reading his word, you're praying to him, you're doing all these great things for him, not yourself, for him, then you're not going to be as tempted as if you were just alone in the valley, sitting in a ditch. And that's all I got.
I guess we're going to end it with another Mount Vernon night. Come on.
That's good for
you.
You better quit. everything that's been said or done so far, I believe, has lined up pretty good. I guess it's out of the way. I didn't know for sure where we was having service, so if y'all think I'm underdressed for a preacher, I dress for comfort because I come to have church. So I believe we're going to have church for a little while. I think about looks and popularity contests already been said. I'm going to preach if something different than what everybody else did, and I think that's just fine. And I'll give you the title real quick, so hopefully it all makes sense to you. And I'm trying to be quick, and if y'all know me, that's going to be hard. But my title is I'll Just Stick With Jesus. We're going to start in John 6, and I get Curly and Caleb's leftover time. Uh-uh. He told me 10 to 15 minutes, so we might lean a little bit more towards 15. We're going to start in verse 41. And I'm going to have to read it quick, so y'all just bear with me. Oh. It says, "The Jews then murmured at him because he said, 'I am the bread which came down from heaven.' And they said, 'Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven?' Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, 'Murmur not amongst yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me. Draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is an hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are the Spirit, and they are life, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's kind of where I wanted to hit there. The Jesus is telling the story of how he came down from heaven and telling the story of who he really was, and that he was the one true Son of God, and that he was the Messiah. He was the one that could save the world from hell. And he was telling all these people, this whole passage here, he's talking to disciples. And at this point, they were followers of Jesus. There was more than 12 of them. There was a whole crowd of people that followed Jesus through these places and to these different places. And Jesus is telling them that he is the one true Messiah. He is the bread of life. He is the living water. He is who he said he was. He is the one that was prophesied of in Isaiah 53. He is the one that they've been talking about this whole time. He is the one the Jews was waiting for. He is the one that we've been waiting for. He is the one true king, the one true Messiah. And these people hear it and they think, man, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And it said many of them turned. We'll just find it. 66 says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. 67, then Jesus said unto the 12, Will ye also go away? This is my favorite part right here. It says, then Simon Peter answered him. It's starting to feel pretty good. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where shall we go? And it says, Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that Thou art Christ, the Son of living God. I believe I'll just stick with Jesus. If everybody else falls away, if everybody else goes away, I think I'll just stick with Jesus. I believe he is who he said he was. But when he came down and saved my soul as a 13-year-old boy, and he showed me who he was, and he told me who he was, I believe he is who he said he was. I think I'll just stick with Jesus. He's been good so far. He ain't failed me yet. I believe I'll just stick with Jesus. The same one that delivered Daniel out of lion's den, the same one that delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fiery furnace, looked out and said, that looks like the Son of God. He hadn't even been born yet. The Lord hadn't even been born yet. Nobody knew who Jesus was. But Nebuchadnezzar said, that right there, that fourth man in the fire looks like the Son of God. How did he know who that was? It had to be the Son of God. I believe I'll stick with him. I believe I'll stick with the one that can come to where we need and do the things we need when nobody else can. I believe I'll stick with the one that's been good for 2,024 years. I believe I'll stick with Jesus. He's the same exact one that was born of a virgin. It's already been talked about. Same exact one that was born of a virgin. Lived 33 and a half perfect years. Died on a cross for you and me. He chose, some of us has already said it, from the time He was born, He was flesh. He could have made any choice He wanted to make, but He chose to live the life of the Lord. He chose to go and die on a cross. He chose to live 33 and a half perfect years. He chose to go die on a cross and was beat so bad His own mama couldn't recognize Him. He chose to go and die for you and me so we might have a chance to make it to heaven. I believe I'll stick with Jesus. If everything else falls away, if my life falls apart, if my family falls apart, if everybody gets mad at me for standing on the Word of God, I believe I'll just stick with Jesus. If everything else goes away, if I'm homeless tomorrow, my wife and my children have died, everything falls apart, where else could I go? I believe I'll just stick with Jesus. It may be hard. It may be trying. Everything may be, look like it's all coming around as Christians. It may look like the road is rough, but if we'll just hold on for a little while, it'll be worth it. Where else could we go without Jesus? I believe I'll stick with Him for a little while. We ain't gonna be here very long. It's worth it to stick with Jesus. Jump to 1 Peter 1. Verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." And I thought that, I was thinking there, you know, the Lord, He's given us an inheritance. It's incorruptible and it's beyond our wildest imagination. And He's given us all these things, and I kind of wanted to go into Job a little bit, but the Lord wouldn't let me. And we hear the story of Job and how many things Job had went through. And right here, verse 6, it says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." It may be hard right now. Things may not be the way you want them right now. But we have an inheritance that's incorruptible, that'll always be there, that's better than gold, better than anything we could have in this world, if we'll just hold on to God for a little while. Things may be hard right now. You may have heaviness right now. You may have temptations right now. But where else could we go, like they said in Luke? Where else could we go but to the Lord? What other hope do we have? If we don't go follow Jesus, the only other place there is hell. It's either heaven or hell. There is no in-between place. There is no purgatory. There is no other hope. We've got to hold on to Jesus if we want to make it to heaven. What other hope do we have? Where else could we go? I believe I'll just stick with Jesus. I have nothing else to look forward to. I have no other hope in this life. I have an inheritance that's incorruptible that I didn't deserve, that I didn't work for, I could have done nothing for. No matter how hard I worked, no matter how hard I tried, until Jesus came in my heart, I had no hope again. Getting there. I had no way to get there. And ever since he has, he's been good far beyond what I deserve. He's been good every step of the way. He's been good far beyond my wildest dreams. I deserve to be in a cardboard box somewhere, but he's given me a good home. He's given me a good family. He's given me a good church. He's given me good people to follow after and give me good examples in my life, in my ministry, and things that I try to do. He's given me a good place to live. It's got good doctrine where I know I got to live right if I want to make it to heaven. He's put all these things in my life and in my path that I don't deserve, so I think I'll stick with them till the end.
We'll show you just how wide of a variety this has been. How long have you been preaching?
Not even a year.
How long have you been preaching?
A year and 4 months.
How long have you been preaching? You're 16. No, you're 16 when you surrendered, buddy. Well, you're 18 now. 2 years. Amen. Colton, how long have you been preaching?
2 years.
Amen. How long have you been preaching, Chris? How long have you been preaching, Bobby? <laughs> 55 years.
Amen.
And it's still the same God. It's still the same Jesus. It's still the same blood that washes our sins away. He's still the same one I'm serving today. The same one that they preached when Papa was preaching. He's talking about the old churches and back in the day when the power of God would fall. That same one that they was worshiping then is the same one I'm worshiping now. That one that 2,023 years ago was born of a virgin and died on the cross for my sins is the same one that's alive and well today that I'm worshiping today. Let's all stand. Tommy Lynn, you come to the piano. This is very familiar scripture, but I feel like it's what the Lord would have us to read. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That verse number 9, it said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe. You know, I believe that believing is more than just thinking. It's more than just knowing something in your head. I read this morning, but the Greek word for unbelief that is used in our New Testament is apistia. And the meaning for that word, it simply means a failure to respond to God with trust. A failure to respond. In order to believe in works that they was talking about earlier, faith without works is dead. Faith without turning to God and turning to His will, that's repentance. Without turning toward Him, you don't believe. You don't believe. Let me read that again. Simply means a failure to respond to God with trust. And at heart shows not only doubt, but rejection. You know, when the Lord deals with your heart and shows you that you're lost, you've got a choice to make. You've got a choice to make. And if you choose to surrender your life to Him, to repent and turn toward God and ask Him to save you and to serve Him, then that's believing in Him. It's more than just a thought. It's more than just, I know He's real. The devil and his angels know that the Lord is real. They know that Jesus was the propitiation for our sins. They know that He was the ultimate sacrifice. They know that, but yet they can't be saved. They can't be saved. In order to go to heaven, you must be born again. John chapter 3, verse 3 says you must be born again. In order to be born again, you have to respond to the call of God. I don't know your heart tonight. I don't know anything about your life. But tonight, maybe you've never been saved. If the Lord's dealt with your heart and showed you that you're lost and showed you that He's real, if you believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, lived 33 and a half years of sinless perfection, died on an old rugged cross to pay our sin debt, and rose again on the third day, if you believe that with your head, you can be saved. But you got to believe. You got to respond to that call. Listen, tonight, if you've never been saved, it's your night. Tonight's your night. 2023's winding down. I couldn't think of anything better for you to do between now and 12 o'clock than to get born again. Than to get saved. You can have that brand new life we was talking about. Boy, and He gives it to you too. He gives it to you. Bill Sperling was a drunk. He was a roughneck around Logan. Nobody liked him. Nobody likes these old roughnecks. But now 50 some years later, he's been preaching and standing on the Word of God ever since. They said he'd never make it. He'd never keep on in the Christian life. It was just a false profession. Well, they's wrong. They's wrong. Had they said that, I'd never make it. I made a profession as a young boy at 6 years old, April 9, 1997. I was in a white Mazda pickup truck just right down the road here. And I made a profession of faith. And I believed that Jesus was Lord. And I turned to Him as much as a six-year-old could. On that day, I began to follow the Lord. But when I got a little bit older, I turned away from Him. I made the choice within myself to walk away from Him. But 10 and a half years ago, right up here in a single-life trailer, right by myself, the Lord called out my name and He said, if you don't turn to Me right now, your life is never going to look the same. He said, I've had My hand on you this whole time, but if you don't come back right now, I'm going to pull My hand off of you. And it scared me to death. And it scared me to death. And down in my heart, I repented. On that day, I said, Lord, whatever it takes for me to be right with You, I'm going to do that. Whatever it takes to know that Your hand's on me and I'm going to heaven, I'm going to do that. And I turned back to God that day and He changed my life totally. Old things are passed away. All things become new. I got a brand new life and I got peace in my heart knowing that I'm going to heaven. If you don't know tonight that you're going to heaven, now's the time. Now's the time. If you need to pray, the altar's open. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a moment. If you're here tonight and you believe that Jesus is Jesus, you believe Jesus is the Messiah, but you've never made a profession, you've never turned your life toward Him. It says with the mouth, confession's made. You got to repent and then tell the world that you're saved. If that's you here tonight and you've never been born again, would you raise your hand and say, preacher, I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? Would there be one in the house tonight? Preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know for sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? I ain't going to come to you. I ain't going to call you out. The only people that's going to know is me and the Lord. I just want to pray for you. Preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. Would there be anybody? Would there be anyone in the house tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Everybody says they're saved in here. Listen, maybe tonight you've done like I did. Maybe you turned your back on God. You've been saved. You knew God was real. You had turned toward Him, but then you turned away from Him. Maybe that's you here tonight and you've been walking far off from God, walking in the wrong direction. If that's you here tonight, would you raise your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm backslid. Would there be one in the house? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not right with God. I'm not where God would have me to be. I'm going to pray here in a minute and I just want to pray for you. Would there be one in the house? There's people all around the altar. I believe these are saved people and they're praying that somebody would get right tonight. They're praying that somebody would get their heart right with you. Listen, if you need to pray tonight, come pray. Saints, pray. Pray. I believe somebody's life needs to be changed here tonight. I believe it with all my heart. I know in a crowd this size, somebody's not right with God. I struggle every day. I got to die daily, as Paul said he did. I got to come back to God and confess my sin, and He's faithful and just to forgive me. He loves me and He'll forgive me. Listen, the only way that I stay in His will is by making the choice that I'm going to. We've all got a choice to make every day of our life if we're going to serve God or not. The choice is yours. Listen, He said He is faithful and just to forgive us if we confess our sins to Him. If you want to get back to where you were, confess your sins to Him. Let go of that pride. Let go of that who you are. Let go of trying to be somebody that you're not and just let God have it. Let God have His way. Anybody else need to pray? Listen. Them keep praying. If anybody else needs to pray, the altar is still open. It ain't closed yet. I can't think of no better way to dismiss this service than talking about the goodness of God and how good the Lord is.
Amen.
And Michael Smith, you come sing. I know the Lord is good. these words in them books, if one of them books, you can't remember them. Yeah.
The Lord is truly good. Amen. I thank God for what you've done here tonight. I felt the presence of food. Showed up in the building.
Yes.
You need to do business with God. Do business. You need somebody to pray with you. Just come on up here. Nice preachers everywhere tonight. Love to pray with you. If you want me to pray with you, just come take a bow of hand. I'll pray with you. Love to. Be glad to.
Bless the Lord. Yeah.
You know what?
While she's finding the words, I just want to thank the Lord tonight for the service, how it's blessed my heart and being able to be here and hear all these great preachers and a lot of men of God that it's just a blessing to see all these young people that's preaching God's Word. Amen. And I want to encourage you young people to keep on preaching. I started preaching when I was 19. Been doing it about 12 years now. But God's been good ever since. And for the church, I do have a prayer request while I'm here. I've been asked to take a church in Claudeville, Virginia, and it's Hills Grove Baptist Church. I've been filling in there for about 4 months and off and on. And so they vote on us on the 14th. So I ask y'all to be much in prayer for us and that God would just use us in a mighty way. I told Tommy she can play if she wants to, but most time I just let her fly, so you'll just pray for us. The Lord is good, His mercy endureth forever and ever to all generations, so I will stand up and sing praise, hallelujah, for I know the Lord is good. He reached down and touched me when I was so low. I could not get up or go down any farther. My sins, which were many, He forgave and forgot them. Oh, I know the Lord is good. The Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever and ever to all generations. So I will stand up and sing praise, hallelujah, for I know the Lord is good. Listen to this verse. I was sick in my body. I could not get well. The doctors had told all they could tell, but then the great physician, He passed by our way. Oh, I know the Lord is good. The Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever and ever to all generations. So I will stand up and sing praise, hallelujah, for I know the Lord is good. I was sick in my body. I could not get well. The doctors had told all they could tell, but then the great physician, He passed by our way. Oh, I know the Lord is good. The Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever and ever to all generations.
nation, so I will stand up and sing praise, hallelujah, for I know the Lord is good.
Amen. You know, 2023 has been a blessing. It seems like anymore the years, they just come and they go so fast. You know, it's been a long journey, but we've been blessed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm looking for 2024 to be amazing. Amen. God's going to do great things in 2024. I know it's been an encouraging service.
Amen.
It's been a blessing to be here.
Amen.
But I want to say one encouraging thing to you young preachers, all you men of God, and to the church. Amen. This right here. 2023 may not have been exactly what you wanted it to be. You may have felt like you fell flat on your face. Some of you preachers, you may have been hurt this year. Things may have gotten said about you that you never thought anybody would ever say. Amen. You pastor a church, you know that you're going to be hurt. Amen. You men of God, keep on preaching. Amen. Don't let up for anything or anybody. Just like Brother Chris done preached. Amen. You keep the plow in the ground. You don't stop preaching what God tells you to preach. Amen. You preach only what God tells you to preach. Amen. Don't let anybody try to lay out your sermon for you but the man upstairs. Amen. Hey, it don't matter. It don't matter whose toes that it steps on. It don't matter exactly. It don't matter if it makes somebody mad. But if you're preaching God's Word, and you're preaching it in power, and you're preaching it in demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God, amen, it is for exactly somebody in that service. Amen, you keep preaching, and don't let up for anything or anybody. And can I say, if your year's been bad, maybe it's been bad financially, maybe it's been bad in your home and in your marriage, there might have been things happening at the workplace that didn't just go right on 2023. You know what we all can do as the church of God? We can take those things that hurt us. We can take those things that we've had mistakes in our life because we ain't perfect, that we can learn from just like a little child. That little child's got to have discipline. Amen. Us as children of God have got to have discipline. Amen. We take those mistakes and we learn from them and we move on. Amen. Amen. And I say this as an encouragement and closing of this. Amen. Get this right here. Hey, you may have sinned against God. We've all sinned, the Bible says. Amen. We've all come short of the glory of God. None is perfect, but no, not one. Amen. But can I say this? The sins you committed this year in 2023, you can lay at an old-fashioned altar before you leave this building. This service ain't closed yet. There's plenty of preachers in here, including me, would love to pray with you. Amen.
Amen.
Don't walk out that door lost and undone without crying. Don't walk out that door sorry for the sins you committed.
Amen.
You can lay them all at the feet of Jesus if you want to. But can I encourage you, the child of God, tonight this? Amen. If you've asked forgiveness for that sin, the adversary is going to remind you of that sin. Amen. All the way through your walks of life, he's going to bring you back up your face. But can I say your heavenly Father, amen, is seated on the throne today.
Amen.
You've asked forgiveness for that sin. It's been cast in the sea of forgetfulness.
Amen.
Never to be remembered again. As far as the east is from the west.
Amen.
Amen. So let that shine tonight in your life.
Amen.
By the start of 2024, 2023 may not have been exactly what you wanted. You may have said something, you done something you weren't proud of. Amen. Guess what? Jesus Christ can go back into 2023. And fix it. What you want the child of God to do? Brother Chris, he wants to keep the plow in the ground. And all of us, the saints of God, to keep pressing toward the mark of Christ.
Amen.
Give it all to God in 2024 and be blessed.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. I thought I was going to have to go get the bell. I didn't start the time. I forgot the timer. Amen. Young lady, I ain't going to give her testimony, but she come up and she said, I just feel like I went too far and I want to come back.
Amen.
That's exactly where I was. I went too far and I wanted to come back. Thank God for it. Let's give her a round of applause. Amen. Amen. Anybody else got something on your heart tonight? Stand. definitely been good to be here. I don't want to quit, but I feel like this is as far as we need to go.
I want to say thank you. Thank y'all for
having me. Amen. Yeah, thank y'all for coming.
Bring us out here.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. I was going to tell you, too, your singing and playing has improved tremendously. Yeah, very good. Very good. Amen. You're doing a great job. Anybody else? Something on your heart?
I'm just thankful that God gave you the whole idea about this.
Amen.
And giving me the opportunity to be able to
stand for him. Glad you came. Amen. Appreciate each one of you that took part tonight. Amen. Amen. Thankful for my favorite mother-in-law coming and singing on the spot. Y'all pray for Curly. He's going to Camp Zion to preach again. So y'all pray for him. Amen. Nobody else got anything on your heart? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Devil tried to stop this. I came up here yesterday and the heat wasn't working and couldn't get the part to fix it. First thing I thought, well, just cancel it. Just forget it. Just cancel it. But I thank God we didn't.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody else? Amen. I'll say again, thank you to Holy Cross and Camp Zion. Several came and each church that's represented, Willis Gap and Pine Ridge and the church and Welcome View and everybody that's came. It takes a team. All of you that was here at the Youth Revival know I've been saying this all year and it's just been on my heart all year, but we've got to be a team. We've got to team up together, and I believe that the Lord has done that this year. I believe He's teamed us back up. Now it's time for us to stay on board together in 2024. Keep pushing forward. It's all about Jesus. That's what it's about. It ain't about me or Mount Vernon or anybody else. It's about Jesus. But, go ahead. Arise. Amen.
We took 9 last year and we've got 26 signed up.
Amen.
So if you've got anybody that wants to join and go with us, let me know.
Okay. What's the date on that?
July 14th is when we're leaving out, but it's the 15th. It's Monday through Friday, but it starts on the 15th, but it's a $50 deposit to sign up for that.
Okay.
If you want to sign up, go with that.
When you need to know about? Okay. Right. Okay. Amen.
And we raise money all year.
Amen. 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 Thank you for the invitation. Amen.
Well,
are we done? 83. You just in. Amen.
Well, did you drop?
No. 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 His eyes have gone. He can pray as I drop. Amen. Amen. All right. Every heart clear. Amen. I will say, we've got all kinds of food. When I heard that some more was coming, we got more pizzas and people's brought stuff. So there's all kinds of stuff up here. So everybody stay. And I told them that y'all was coming, and I told y'all not to bring nothing. So they brought plenty of food. So we got plenty of food. Everybody stay. And at about 5 minutes to 12, we'll just all gather back up. We're going to have a bonfire and stuff. Did you bring more boards, cornhole boards and stuff? Cornhole boards inside and everything. But about 5 minutes to 12, be back inside the fellowship hall, and we're all going to gather around and pray in the new year. But don't bring any food or anything in the church. We would ask you to do that. But nobody else got anything, I'm going to ask Larry Johnson to dismiss us and go ahead and ask a blessing over the food.
Oh, dear Lord and heaven, Lord, just want you to know we love you.
Thank you,
God.
Yes, thank you, God.